We'll call attendance. Sean, would you please call attendance of the board, please?
JP Anderson?
Present.
Ian Connell?
Present.
Nora Crivello?
Present.
John Flaherty?
Present.
Fia Oman?
Present.
Victor Paredes Colonia? Okay, everyone is here except Victor.
Okay, Sean, would you please take note of the time? I won't call the time if Victor joins us in the next few minutes. Just please take note of the time when he comes.
Will do.
Online.
Okay.
Finally, are there any guests that are recorded, Sean?
No one has requested to make a public comment.
Okay. Is there any guests in attendance of the meeting besides technically the staff?
No official guests.
Okay.
We may want to record Katrin as an official guest.
Oh, correct. Right.
Okay.
Then I will, according to the agenda, call the meeting to order and ask if there are any public comments. Hearing none, I would call the to section two, the topical items tonight on tonight's agenda, which is the planning expansion of in-person instruction, approval of plans to expand in-person instruction, and confirm future special meeting dates and times. A couple of comments about the agenda quickly. Section two, item B, is a tentative item. The reason why we called this meeting this early in the process is because we wanted to brief the board with respect to providing them information about some of the developments. It is no way a effort to approve a plan to expand in-person instruction. I spoke with Kevin earlier this week, and he was very aware and very committed to the idea that was expressed by Nora when we faced this earlier, which is nothing is baked. The board is being briefed. The board will have questions. And the board is not required to approve anything. On the other hand, and thank you very much for this quick board meeting and everyone making themselves accessible. On the other hand, concurrent with that responsibility is our willingness to meet as soon as early next week. If necessary, to think about what we learned tonight, to provide the staff the opportunity to sharpen it up and give us further information in the next few days, and be willing to meet and provide both parents, staff, and our students the opportunity to know what our organization's plans are as quickly as they can so that they can stretch and plan their lives for the next few months. So I just wanted to comment on that with respect to the agenda so that the board is aware of what the current status will be, that they are expected to, we are expected to participate in fulfilling our decision-making, and that may include a meeting next week. So with that, before I go to the briefing for Kevin, are there any questions for me or any comments by the board? Okay, hearing none. Kevin, could you help us with the expansion of in-person instructions? With the understanding that as soon as tomorrow, the governor will be providing additional information about schools. This is a moving target, but what do we have now?
Okay, thank you very much, John. Yes, it is a moving target. Can everybody see the screen, the presentation there? Okay, awesome. So again, to reiterate John's just thankfulness and gratitude for everybody coming together so quickly. We are very excited that we're even having this opportunity to have this meeting. A couple months ago, it may not have been imaginable that we'd be ready to actually talk about returning to in-person instruction, where we would be able to give all students a chance to come back to campus. We are hopeful that with your support, we'll be there in April. So I shared these slides via email just about 20 minutes ago, just want to note that Victor's joined us. Hey, Victor. Because we're going to rush through some of these slides to make sure there's enough time for discussion. But I do want you to have the full deck to kind of get a sense of all the work that's been going on. So just to cut to the chase quickly and then get into all the rationale and background as to why this is the recommendation for our plan going forward. We want to make sure that all of our staff have the chance for at least the first dose of the vaccine before being requested to return to in-class instruction. We think that's really important to help staff feel confident and secure and safe, and also to reduce their risk of exposure to serious COVID illness. The plan that we're proposing is to launch a hybrid model for K-4s beginning on April 13th. That's the day after we come back from spring break, with kindergarten possibly being earlier, in grades 5 to 8 on April 19th. As when we were going into the initial planning in the summer, parents would have the choice to continue distance learning or the hybrid. The hybrid model that we're proposing is very similar to where we were in the fall with lessons learned from then, but it's still focusing on the Monday through Thursday option, AM or PM, about 2 hours and 45 minutes of instruction, and having Friday for the highest need students, approximately 20% of the student body, for intervention on Friday. And then the afternoon would be the professional development time for teachers and staff. So you'll hear more about that and the rationale for these in a minute. So just quickly to just kind of recap how things have changed so much in the last year and what a year it's been. So going from about a year ago, March 13th, I'm trying to look at the date, almost exactly a year ago when we had to stop learning on campus because of the COVID crisis. And then you know what's happened since then. And we started on-site distance learning in October. And now again, we're hoping for a return on campus, given that two of our counties are already in red. Santa Cruz and Santa Clara have gone from purple to red. So, you know, less COVID transmission. San Benito County is expected to go down to red in a week or two. But the trends are definitely downward. A lot more research showing the efficacy of operating schools safely when mitigation strategies are in place. So more and more research has been available for that. And with the vaccine, we do believe that we are in a much better place and ready to return. So just a couple things we're going to go through quickly. Is reminding you of what schools look like now, where we are on the vaccines, what the stakeholder engagement process has been, reminding you of the safety protocols that we've put in place, and kind of reiterating why we're proposing to reopen for April, and the steps of what's coming next with your support, hopefully. Okay. So quickly, what's going on now? Distance learning. We also have on-site distance learning at each of our campuses. With the support of our COVID funding and other special funding, learning loss mitigation funding, we've been able to provide the on-site distance learning support, as well as additional blended learning champions to support our staff. So a lot of work's been done to pull off the great program, considering all that we're able to do that we're implementing now. And I'm gonna let Kirsten take the next few slides to share where we are with our vaccines and our stakeholders.
Thank you, Kevin. Yes, the progress of our staff of vaccinations. And I'm gonna go through a few details, and believe me, this is a little difficult to follow just because nothing is simple in the land of COVID right now. So the process for getting staff vaccinated varies by county, because we wouldn't want it to be simple. So San Benito County, the superintendent of schools, works fairly to distribute their county allotment of vaccines. Each county health department gets a certain allotment of vaccines that then they are distributing by their tiers. And so each county is allowed to distribute that how they want, as long as they're going by their tiers. Santa Clara County, there is no additional support to register our staff. So staff in Santa Clara County has only been able to get registered when we send out the, this clinic is happening, or, you know, try to be first come first serve here. So Santa Clara County has not had, our GPS staff has not had a lot of the same opportunities as San Benito or Santa Cruz County. In Santa Cruz County, the superintendent of schools distributed the county allotment, and then they worked with their local healthcare providers to get educators in Santa Cruz County just about fully vaccinated. So again, completely different by county. We are working, the leadership team has been advocating for an expanded number of vaccines in the in our counties where we have an outstanding need. And I actually haven't even been able to tell Kevin and the staff this, but right before the meeting started, I did get a phone call. I happen to have a contact with Government Affairs and Safeway Albertsons. They're putting on a clinic in Morgan Hill, March 10th, and we will have 60 allocations for our staff to be vaccinated in. Mr. Flaherty, you will be happy with your former staff member because he is the one that helped with that.
Terrific, thank you.
So our GPS numbers will change. So right now at GPS, we still have 57% of our staff still needs appointments. However, that will change drastically with this new allotment of vaccines. HPS, 38% still need appointments. We'll still be able to get some of those taken care of with the Safeway Albertsons allotment. And then finally, 22% in Watsonville, but that number will go down this weekend because a lot of them were getting calls to be vaccinated through Kaiser this weekend. So our vaccine picture is definitely improving.
Hey, Kirsten, does this work by what county the educators live in or what county they work in?
It is both. So that is also, they can do that by county too. So it totally just depends on the county.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. So for the stakeholder engagement, in order for us to get, have as much information as possible to our stakeholders as well as from our stakeholders, we have kind of been rolling this out in steps. The staff engagement, the leadership team, the directors and chiefs, we met with our principals a week ago to go over kind of the thoughts, the highs, the lows, your concerns, some possibilities. The principals met then with their leadership teams on Monday, do the same thing. And then members of the directors and chiefs team went to each of the site huddles on Tuesday to share a very, very brief high-level overview of, we are trying to figure out how to reopen our campuses safely. We want to be able to come back. This is what we're thinking about. And then we went back on Wednesday to answer some general questions. We asked them to email their questions to me, as many as they wanted, their concerns and everything, so that we then could address those bigger questions in an all staff meeting tomorrow afternoon. We then have, for just overall, we've been providing our families with monthly updates. As parents who have been getting those emails know, it's me trying to say the same thing in 20 different ways because there's not been a lot to say as far as updates of coming back. But now, hopefully tomorrow, we're going to be able to share some different news and send out a survey asking, as Kevin said, talking about, you know, would you want to your children to stay in distance learning, come back, some of those questions. And then with our local counties, we've been participating in weekly or biweekly, and depends on the county, meetings with to learn about the status of the health, where they are on their colors, what their numbers have been, what other districts and charters are doing, and share our plans. And I will say that has been a huge help in just the whole vaccination process too.
So Amy's been great taking the lead on our safety measures. And the plan that I emailed to the board is a plan that we'll be planning to post on our websites and submit to the counties and state as necessary. The COVID prevention program is, I think, the official name for it. But just to quickly remind you, it includes testing, questionnaires, temperature checks for staff, people coming onto campus, face coverings, social distancing, sanitization, ventilation upgrades have been made on our filters. We're making sure that doors and windows are remaining open and the fans are constantly running so that the airflow is gonna help make sure that the risk is as low as possible of spreading any viruses. And by this, with the screening process, hopefully preventing anybody who may be contagious from coming onto campus in the first place. But the testing and the other protocols will help us mitigate any potential exposure. And these are the processes that are related to that. So these are all by now very standardized and they keep getting better as more research is available. And as mentioned, these are in the packet that was sent to the board on the slides. So again, why we believe now is the time to plan our reopening for April is it's the research, it's the improved safety measures. And not only that, but with the warmer weather, it's a lot easier to keep those windows and doors open without the heat escaping. We've had some challenging days doing that with the on-site distance learning, but we've done it and had kids wear their jackets. So what's coming next is our hybrid model proposal. And I'm gonna have James Dent, our chief academic officer, go through these with us. James, you want me to just click on each one real fast? Are you muted, James?
Yes, that's fine. Thanks, Kevin. I tried to fit more text on this page, but I couldn't. So sorry about that. All right. So the key points here I want to cover with you are the black, which is we adopt the half day sample schedule, which is actually below, that includes two 75 minute sessions for each of the on-site groups and a 15 minute break in between that. The reason we've decided to do that is we feel like it's super critical that we get our kids back daily, especially with the amount of, you know, potential learning loss that they've had. And this is, you know, still just a drop in the bucket compared to our regular on-site days, but it does give us an opportunity to bring up to all of the kids back for half days. The second piece is that on our fifth day, we want to bring back our lowest third of kids, which would be on Friday mornings. And so it would be a half day of instruction for those students that really, really need even more time, and then gives us a substantial amount of time in the afternoon for professional development, prep time, as well as any other needs that the school has, such as IEP meetings. I will note that in the half day schedule, teachers have probably about, I would say, 30 minutes of additional prep compared to usual, just because we're not sure what the load is going to be as far as being prepared in this new environment. So that's a good thing The last, second to last one is that sites will have autonomy to have kindergarten classes engage in on-site activities potentially before spring break, just to get the kids that have never been on our campus on and learn some of the routines and get to know what the classrooms look like. And then the last piece is we would like to also give autonomy to the principals and their teams to figure out how do we actually deal with distance learning only programming, because we anticipate many kids will stay in distance learning, but if most of our teaching staff is committed to teaching all day, how do we actually service the students that are staying home? And so that's the biggest question mark we have right now, and also is going to take the most problem solving. And each school and each grade level we feel is probably going to be unique. So in a nutshell, if you're looking at a student, I'm just going to, if we just look at group one, that would be the AM group. They come in the morning until 11. Then there would be a long break, which allows us to clean rooms, teachers get their lunch, and we get the kids picked up. And then we repeat that. It doesn't show on this, but we repeat it in the afternoon. They have homework in the afternoon. Group two would be the reverse of that. They're starting with their homework and then they're doing the face-to-face in the afternoon. Group three would be the distance learning kiddos. And group four would just be looking at what our Friday essentially would look like, which is intervention, and everyone else that is doing distance learning only those days. So that's our rough sketch. And we have broken it down into a lot of detail here. This is probably more for our teachers to look at tomorrow for the first time. So I'll spare you all the description on that.
Friday intervention, similar, a lot of detail.
Yeah.
So we definitely have been learning from other sites during this process. Using outdoor spaces to the extent that we can, really making sure we're doing all we can messaging wise to our families to promote minimal external contact. We're all in this together. We really are hoping everybody is rowing in the same direction, and we're gonna do the best we can to message that. And having teachers dedicated to either distance learning or in-person instruction. We know it's really difficult. We've learned from other sites that have tried to do both, and it really is challenging and leads to burnout. And as we talked about, the AM and PM is a way that we would stagger the start and release times. So some pictures of classrooms. Amy and her team purchased these plexiglass dividers that are shown here, or ones very similar to that, to also help reduce spread of the virus, using circles and other ways for outdoor play to help keep students distanced during the playtime. We're also making sure that we're considering staff and organizational needs. So this is probably more for our staff tomorrow, but reminding them about what we've done to support staff and students and families through our wellness team. The second bullet, staff, the way that it was phrased in the presentation is we want staff to have an opportunity for at least the first dose before being requested to return. We are, and the reason I use the word requested instead of required is that we do want to provide accommodations for staff to the extent that we can. So there will be a process for staff who have concerns about returning so that we can try the best we can to make appropriate accommodations. We will have some need for continued distance learning, and there might be other opportunities to work from home for people in a certain situation. So we'll be considering those on a case by case. As needed, there are opportunities for staff to request a leave if necessary. So just again, to recap the kind of high level summary of the plan to return, is kind of outlined here for you. And John and Boyd, we'll stop there to make sure there's time for you to ask questions and share your comments. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Kevin. And thank you, Kirsten and James. Three quick administrative, some bookkeeping stuff before we open it up to questions and comments by the staff. This meeting is being held under the auspices of, or under the direction of the governor's executive orders with respect to disclosure, notice, and operation. Number two, I would remind all board members that the meeting is being recorded. And three, I would, without objection, given Katrin's experience with Navigator, her knowledge about COVID and vaccine administration under the current circumstances for education, and third, finally, her just her knowledge about charter and education generally would deem her a subject matter expert, and we would ask her to make any comments or ask any questions during this period to help the board. So with that, does anyone have any questions or comments at this point?
John, I could start. I have a couple, I guess, observations and then just a question. But so first, want to just, you know, thank the staff for putting this together. And I really like the, you know, just thinking about these like layers of safety as, you know, just, you know, providing as much protection as possible. You know, there's the, you know, layer one of, you know, procedures coming in, you know, temperature checks. There's layer two of, you know, masks, layer three of social distance, layer four, you know, sanitation, layer five, if we have, you know, incidents, we have cohorts and they're able to execute quickly. So I just really like that, the comprehensiveness of the approach, and just makes me feel better given, you know, the, you know, there's no perfect solutions at the moment, but really, really, really enjoy that. And the, but the one question, so do you all have any sense of, I know you will ask the parents soon, but like where you think folks will lie on their desire to return or desire to stay in remote learning?
Kevin?
I'd say based on the previous survey, we had about 2/3 of our parents who wanted to return to on-site learning. So my guess is that it has not changed much. It's probably gone down and now back up. So my guess is still about there. Kirsten, what do you think?
I was gonna say, I would go probably about 80-20. I would think just in the number of emails and different comments from parents on, you know, asking when would we be able to reopen campuses? And then just with the news that's out there, it would be between the 75-25 or 80-20.
Great. And the one follow-up, if it was more than that, let's say 90-10 or 95-5, can this proposed schedule accommodate that level of students?
Yeah, so this schedule would accommodate 100% because basically it's 50% for AM, 50% for PM. Is the way it's managed. The biggest challenge, if it were a lower percent, if it were say like 90, 95 is how we manage and support those distance learning, which might require us to look at doing it network wide as opposed to each school being able to do their own solution, because we all have to be more efficient probably in delivering the distance learning only students. But as far as the site capacity, we can go up to 50% in the AM and 50% in the PM.
Perfect, thank you.
Other questions and comments?
This is Victor, I have a question. What we've learned from what other sites are doing and what other schools are doing, have we also been communicating that with customers, with the parents?
We have on it, yeah, we have on a very general level, but this stuff will be included in what I share with families tomorrow.
Okay.
And Kirsten, is it going to be in a more digestible form?
What, you don't think I should send them that huge slide deck? Yeah, no, it'll be in a much more digestible form.
Other questions and comments?
I have a couple questions. So if we, it looked like we have about 20% of the teachers that don't want to take the vaccine. Does that mean that they are willing to not take the vaccine and still teach in class? Or what does that look like? How does that play out?
Yes, so the vaccine is not a requirement to return to class. It's the vaccine's more to protect the individual than it is to protect others. It's not necessarily shown to prevent spread of the virus. So there is probably a mixed bag, Nora. There's probably a few teachers who might be risk averse on vaccine and also are risk averse to returning to class. But we know that there are many who want to return and don't want to take the vaccine.
Is there a possibility of a teaching shortage?
Well, that is a possibility. We won't really know until we have the numbers from the numbers of students who will be returning to on-site. And then we really have to, at that point, if we get to the point where we have more, a higher number of teachers submitting requests for accommodations, we'll have to cross that bridge at that point. And that's why we mentioned earlier, there may be situations where a staff person is requesting to work remotely and we're not able to accommodate that, in which case that staff person may need to make a difficult choice around requesting a leave or completing a leave form or returning to class with a lot of discomfort around it.
Okay. What are our protocols if a staff member, a teacher specifically, tests positive? How does that work?
Melissa, would you be willing to answer that one? If a teacher tests positive, they're definitely not coming onto campus. And as far as what
and so I'm looking at slide 19 because that's a staff member. Mm-hmm. And so am I correct, Amy, in that the teacher and her cohort would all immediately be transitioned to distance learning for the 2 weeks? And the teacher, of course, I mean, the teacher should really get some time off because she or he has tested positive. But am I correct, Amy and team, in that that cohort is now transitions to distance learning for?
Yeah.
And then that's backfilled by a substitute?
Most likely, Nora, most likely we've had people that have been tested positive, but were not experiencing significant symptoms and decided they were still able to continue working. So in many cases, they might continue on in some capacity if they feel fit, but because of the positive test, they would not be able to do that on site.
And also, Nora, just to continue with the, how would you backfill that? Our first line of defense would be our teachers in training, because that's how we utilize or fill our sub needs. And then other than that, there are other certificated support office, specifically staff members, that can jump in and support also.
It just feels like to me the margins are thin for error here. If we have, some people that aren't comfortable coming back on site, and then a couple people get sick, and it's just, it feels like it could fall apart quickly as far as, do we have enough people to be in the classroom with the students?
Nora,
so
I can
run through the numbers, just a little concerned about those.
Yeah, I'll jump in on that one, because some of the partner organizations that we work with outside of Navigator have experienced that, where they've come back, they've run out of people, they've had to close temporarily, the whole school closes based on personnel. So, in a worst case scenario, crossing our fingers, things look like it's not going to get there. You know, we would have contingency plans to kind of deal with that as well if it gets that bad.
Okay. Can I ask a couple parent questions that when my son's school chart went back to school, the administration did, you know, you guys are doing just put an enormous amount of work and thought into it. But they didn't ask the question, how does this affect their carpools? And that school runs on the carpools because most of the students come from San Jose and Santa Cruz. And I asked the administration, do you guys think about the carpools? They're like, no, it didn't even cross our mind. So I want to try to pose some of those parent framed questions. What time specifically for HPS, do you know what time or if R.O. Hardin is opening the co-located schools, and is that gonna cause Carmageddon? Because last thing you want is angry parents to drop off right now. It's too much stress already.
We put a little squiggly line in front of the 8:15 and the times here because we are not exactly sure. We're definitely ahead of Hollister School District on returning. There's a likelihood that we'll be operating just without having to share for a little bit at least. Pajo Valley K and one is coming a little ahead of us. They're starting April 5th, unless, like we mentioned in the slides, we may start kindergarten a little earlier, again, with board support. And Gilroy at this point, Kirsten.
They have a board meeting next week.
Yeah. Okay. So, but Nora, yeah, we will need to keep coordinated with, now R.O. Hardin and Hollister School District, they're looking at a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 2 days. Two and two instead of the half days. So that'll help with the midday Carmageddon stuff. But yeah, the morning and the afternoon, we have an agreement with the school district to make sure that we're at least 20 minutes apart.
Okay, great.
But we'll have to continue to navigate that.
Great, thanks. And then finally, as a parent, I have had some parents reach out to me and express their perspectives, and they wanted me to share those tonight. There is a very strong feeling request for full days, not the hybrid approach, but the full days. And the reason behind that is kind of just a logistic thing. It's hard to find babysitters for a couple hours where it's easier to do it for like 2 days a week for 8 hours versus 4 days a week for a couple hours. So that's one perspective. And then a lot of parents are just, you know, they're seeing different states open up at different levels and want their kids back full time. So just kind of voicing what I've heard and what people have reached out to me and told me is their want full days for their students.
Yeah, I'll respond a little bit, Nora. I mean, the biggest challenge for us in thinking that one through is space. Because of the requirement for social distancing, we would need double the classrooms basically to be able to maintain the, you know, 4 to 6 foot separation of students. You know, what perhaps we'll be able to explore the use of more outdoor space over time. This by itself is going to be a really big lift. And while we'd love to be able to accommodate all kids for full days, the space and then the staffing that we'd need more staffing too, because it'd be, you know, double the amount of supervision for students, because we'd have 30 kids in two separate classrooms as opposed to one. So, you know, but the biggest thing is the space, because we could solve the other one with, you know, a few more dollars or a lot more dollars, but the space one's not easily solvable.
No, I understand that. If there's a way to do, you know, two full days a week and then two at home, that's something that would support the childcare thing as well. So yeah. Just throwing out some of the stuff I've heard.
Yeah, I remember, one of the reasons we're going back to the half day model as opposed to reconsidering the two full days, when we did surveys back in the beginning on this, it was split exactly evenly on what parents preferred. So we went with what we believe is a better educational model, particularly for the younger students to see them every day. And that's why we went with this model at this point too. some parents we heard, you know, preferred the half day versus the full day. So it was so evenly split. That's why we went with this one.
You said you're sending out another survey tomorrow.
It'd be more specific though, Nora, on distance learning versus this model. It's not going to be the...
It's not a choice. Like, we're going hybrid. If we're going hybrid.
Right.
Okay.
Katrin and then JP.
I just wanted to share a perspective. I spent an hour this morning talking to Mary Jane Burke, who's the Marin County elected superintendent. So she has presided over a county that has been open for most of the year. So it's just a helpful time to share a few reflections, because I asked her, what advice would you give to other school leaders? The first thing she said that I think is really important for the board to keep in mind was, once you set a date, then you just have to keep asking staff and all your team, what do you need to make this work? And so I think for the board to have that mindset, that it is not at this point getting past the should we open to, we're opening, what do you need? What do you need individual staff member? What do you need custodian? What do you need family to make this work? So just sort of thinking about that spirit as we talk to folks as they get through different fears and concerns that they may have. The second thing that they have done really well in Marin is a lot of transparency around the data and constant communication around what's going on. I can share offline the dashboard they use to show transmission, just because I think people will want to know, how is it going? Was there a case? And we have to respect individuals' privacy, but it's also important to be really, really clear about if there was a case, so people don't ever feel like we are hiding things or not telling everyone the truth. You know, and the good news from that, I think their latest data, they had over 1 million days of in-person instruction in terms of like student days in person, and they've had 11 cases of suspected in-school transmission. None of them were from student to adult. And the final thing that Mary Jane said was, the most important thing is for everyone to treat everyone else in the building as they might be COVID positive. Good masking, good social distancing, hand washing, and ventilation. She's actually been back in her office since May 1st with her staff. And so she just had a lot of hope around the energy of having students in person and the importance to just keep pushing forward. And then, you know, once you see how it goes with hybrid, then in a couple months you could ask, what would it look like to be more comfortable with 3 feet of distancing, not six? But starting out by getting students in the building, asking what everyone needs, being transparent with data, and just making sure everyone really follows through on the standards, they found a lot of success in staying open.
Thanks, Katrin. JP.
Thanks, John. Real quick, I think everybody's kind of touched on it, but I to piggyback on Kirsten and Nora, what they're trying to meet is just, you know, putting the survey out there to see who's going to be coming in and if the staff's going to be their support. So do we have, you know, do we have A to meet B when those numbers match? So I would assume that's what we're going to try to ascertain, right, is find out who's wanting to, what the volume's going to be like, and if we have the staff to support that. So that's, I just want to have that as something that's being discussed as well. Because right now, I think you said it was anywhere from 75-25 and 80-20, those type of things. So that was just my question.
Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan, JP, is to get those numbers so that we can, you know, figure out the exact ratios and plans to move forward. But yeah, we're going to need to get that information from our parents.
Yeah, because I you know, if we've only got X amount available, but more want to come, right? So that's, and I know you and I talked a little bit about, you know, staggering that, you know, the next opportunity to be able to go from distance learning to the hybrid or what have you is, you know, staggered out, not just picking a specific date, but like Kirsten said, or Katrin, once that date is there, what do we need to do to make sure that happens across the board? So I guess that's just my concern, is just if there's a herd of people that want to go and they're expecting it because we asked the question, is it going to be able to be met?
I think that's a really good, I think one other related point, JP, that you're bringing up for me is that we're conditioning a grade level is reopening based on the staff of that grade level having had the opportunity to get the vaccine. And now we're prioritizing to the extent that we can, K-1, 2, kind of going up from K up. Sometimes it's the urgency that a particular staff person has in responding to an email, or maybe not just their urgency, but when they might see an email that something's ready, or when we text them or call them. So it's not a perfect science in terms of, you know, everybody getting it in exact grade level order. But our hope is that by April 12th, all K-4 staff will have had that opportunity. And by April 19th, all grades 5 through 8 will. And we're getting there. I mean, I think it's realistic to say that, but I think you're right. Like, when we make the communication appearance, I do think we have to be really mindful and like, this is the date we're targeting. And these are some of the nuances that are going to have to, you know, happen or be true in order for us to meet those date targets. We may only be in a position to expand 5th and 6th grade instead of 5 through 8, potentially, depending on the vaccination process. So I think the key is that we have the goal and the timeline, and it seems realistic, but there are some variations that we don't, or variables that we don't control.
Kevin, I have a question that goes to the next item on the agenda, but follows JP's question, which is, getting information from the parents to help you make a decision versus at this point, tomorrow, yep, telling them of a date certain, as Katrin recommended or observed in Rin. What is the board is faced with getting more information or getting more information from you in the next few days, and seeing how this is starting to, as you said, forming up, or, you know, getting more information. Will you have more information and be clearer in terms of how some of the issues we discussed tonight, say next Wednesday or Thursday, will it be a bit clearer as to some of the challenges you're facing with? I know you're talking to the staff tomorrow and you're going to brief them on a lot of the stuff that we heard today. So you're certainly going to get staff feedback. Are there other issues?
I think
find that question. Would you have more information next week for the board, or greater clarity?
I think we would. I mean, like, in terms of, it may not be realistic to expect all parents to respond to assert. I guess one of the things, John, and this was challenging for us, is there's been so many surveys and so many times we've gone back to parents. We didn't want to survey the parents before we had a better sense of like what the actual plan was that we're going forward with, because otherwise it's a theoretical survey, as opposed to we really wanted is what their choice is, given that this is the plan we're moving forward with.
This now, is where the data takes us to
provide
you with these choices to come.
Yeah. So that's what we were thinking. So I don't know if it would, I mean, what it would give the board. If we went to the parents and said, this is what we're going forward with, pending board final approval at a later date, that's about the same as, okay, this is what we're moving forward with. So, I mean, it's really, I don't have, staff is comfortable if the board would rather not decide today. We don't think that the plan will change much based on what the data is. It's really how we kind of how what Katrin was saying, how we make it work given the information that's coming back. there might be some minor tweaks here or there, but in general, like if we're going to be expanding in-person instruction in April, with a hybrid model, there's not a lot of it that will change.
We could have more information from the governor, from what I understand, both today and tomorrow. Katrin, you may know something about this. Today and tomorrow, with respect to how he's treating educators with respect to the vaccine, is that in a positive way? Is that accurate?
I do think he's trying to prioritize more vaccines for educators. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
And just to piggyback on that, that is how we were actually able to get the allotment from Safeway Albertsons, as they are a federal, they have been designated a federal allotment location. And the president signed an executive order saying educators had priority. And so Safeway has to then give their allotment to educators. So there will be additional vaccination opportunities when the governor does that too.
Okay. Other questions or comments? What I would like to do is close out this section, move to the next section, and hear a motion to approve the plan with the understanding that the board can vote to table it until next week. Again, I want to make sure that the board feels confident that the issues have been aired, that they've had input into the process, and that they still that they're still supporting teachers and parents and their students with respect to giving them clear indicators as to when to get going. So with that, I'd like to, forgive me for a second here. I'd like to move to the section 2, item B, approval of plans to expand in-person instruction, and ask if the board wishes to consider approving plans to expand, as we heard, in-person instruction beginning April 13th. And alternatively, the board may consider scheduling another special meeting, that would presumably be next week at the latest, to consider the matter with additional information. So do I hear a motion to approve the plan from a board member, please.
I will move to approve.
Okay. I'll second it, and we're open for discussion with the understanding that we can vote to table the motion if necessary until next week. So discussion and comments. The motion is to approve the plan as we heard it today. And again, board members should feel confident that that for the discussion here, that any and all options are on the table. Okay, hearing no discussion. I would call for a vote as to whether or not we would approve the plan as we heard tonight. Sean, would you call the roll, please?
JP Anderson.
Aye.
Ian Connell.
Aye.
Nora Crivello.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Come back to me, please.
Fia Oman.
Aye.
Victor Paredes-Colonia.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Yeah, I have a an inquiry. Do one of us need to abstain to be able to bring this issue again forward next week, or can I vote aye with the understanding that it's approved and yet it can be reopened at a later date? I don't think we need anyone to abstain for that, do we?
No.
Okay, then I would vote aye.
Okay, the motion carries unanimously.
Terrific, and sorry for the parliamentary technicalities, guys, but the parents, this is an important item, and I want to make sure that we're doing this and allowing all our options to be open. Okay, thank you very much. Board, thank you.
So, John, the one last item is about special meetings. So we just figured out we don't need one other special meeting, but there's still the one that we need for the end of March for our to consider our audit.
Right.
And I didn't want us to send out too many doodles in the same week. And we're so, again, thankful everybody responded to this one so quickly. But we're hoping that we could find a time on March 30th that could work for everybody. After some initial polling of a few of us, I think we're proposing 3 p.m. Might work for everybody. I know some calendars may have changed since we talked to I think we talked to the finance committee members. But this would be for the audit and possibly
Let me interrupt you, Kevin. It would be for the audit.
Yes.
It would also be, and this is in the context of the COVID discussion, we've been looking for opportunities to address this COVID and post-COVID issue and the structures that we currently have and how we can best serve the students and the parents on this. One of the things that Katrin has given us as a going away gift, we'll say, or her change in status, is nominations for three outstanding board members who will bring a absolute terrific experience and excitement. And so to address these issues and to keep within the agenda, at our special meeting, we will likely include the three nominations if this goes as planned and all three agree to join the board. So we will, in our preparatory materials on this issue, which will come earlier than normal, nevertheless, still include this in our special meeting on the last week of March. So I just wanted to fit that again into appropriate context, and again to thank Katrin for this terrific talent identification. Sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, John. Very well done. So just want to query the board if the Tuesday, March 30th at 3 could work.
I'm supposed to be on a flight at that time, so if there's possibly another day or time, that would be better. But if there's not a better time, I can try to figure that out.
How we could do March 31st.
Ooh, fantastic.
Amy will sweat a little bit more on beating our deadline, but we could do the 31st or the 29th.
That would work fine too. Just the flight's at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. Sorry.
As you're rolling down the runway, hurry up, Nora, vote. Aye.
They're yelling at me. I gotta go.
Would the 29th at 3 work for everybody?
Yes.
Yes.
That works for Ian.
Thank you, and sorry.
Thank you, Nora.
No problem, Nora. JP, was that, did you get a thumbs up there? Yeah, okay. I think we got everybody.
Okay, terrific. Any other questions or comments before we move to adjournment? Thank you all again for the quick response. And again, Kevin, the board makes the commitment that we'll make ourselves available if significant developments occur and you need the board to respond to those. And again, thank you, staff, for everything you're doing and for coming together with this plan in the amount of time. It is a moving target. Thank you so much. With that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Victor. I'll raise a motion to adjourn.
Do I hear a second?
JP, I'll second.
And will Sean, will you call the roll, please?
JP Anderson.
Aye.
Ian Connell.
Aye.
Nora Crivello.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Aye.
Fia Oman.
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, everyone. The meeting is adjourned. I'm glad to see that we did it pretty much in an hour, and we'll continue to try and do that for these special meetings. Thanks very much, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Yay. Nice work, team.
So excited. So excited. And James, tell them what you're doing at 6:15.
Sean, don't forget to stop recording.
Yeah. I am.
Uh-oh.
1 second.
James,